I was just at Disneyland with my kids, and and I really enjoyed it.
So. Yeah, that's cool, yeah. man. Yeah. I haven't been to Disneyland since I was a kid, I don't think.
Well, I hadn't been since 1986. It changed,
yeah,
but not
yeah.
much.
You know, well, I can't wait rides. For, what is it, the Star Wars Galaxy.
Yeah. Are we going to go?
Well, they won't even say when the hotel is open. Like, they can't, they're not announcing when the hotel's going to be done. Because, so you know about the hotel, right?
Oh, yeah. It's full immersion.
It's full, yeah.
I'm
you
into
get
that.
It. You're, you have, it's full cosplay.
Yeah.
Character. Oh, nerds. I was talking to my kids about it yesterday. I was like, man. Then I went on to look to see if we could book something for, I don't know, when they're in their 40s.
2045.
Available.
You really, but, you'll look just like Alec yet. Guinness at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I will. My brown robe.
Jeremy Kenobi.
I wish I was that wise. And I wish I could use a lightsaber like that, but I can't.
No.
Fuck it.
No.
Whatever.
It's also, it's a story. It's.
What's a story?
Star Wars. It's not real.
Oh, right. Yeah. It is. You're right. Yeah.
This morning I wanted a frap and they wouldn't make it.
Every time I come here, you're buying a frap.
Are you serious?
You're so freaking weird.
All right. I don't even talk about.
Awkward pause.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is Marginal Groans.
Yeah. Okay, that was our intro. Now we're going to really talk about some cycling stuff. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
This is Jeremy.
And Jed.
This is Marginal Groans.
Hi.
What up, homie? That's stupid.
Hey, I'm Jed.
I'm Grover. This is Marginal Groans.
Walk, Kermy.
Hey, Piggy.
I love how this is like this. The leg of this chair is right between my legs.
I do that for you. That's why I set it up so that you can have the leg of the table right between your legs. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Is that the leg of your table or?
Well, I am happy to see you.
As always. NIU.
Yeah. So, we had a bike race yesterday.
Well, it's been a while since we've recorded.
It has. Maybe we should. So it's been a while since we recorded because we did record a whole episode and we kind of fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess were you really the president of your AV club in high school?
I was, but I think it was Kieran's fault.
Yeah.
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 We're going to blame him. We actually have that other episode all mixed down and ready to go, but it sounds so crappy that, you know, we didn't. Well,
look, there's like 100 to maybe 125 of you out there that really want to listen to us.
There were.
So, you know, we wanted the best, highest quality recording for you from this day forth.
Yeah.
So we're starting over. We're hitting repeat, you know, plus there's been life challenges and whatnot. Things get in the way and, you know, you got to prioritize because, you know, we're doing this for fun.
Yeah, we are. And it's been, it's been a tough month.
Sure, it has.
A lot going on. So with that.
But those of you who know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's carry on.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. We had all that stuff on that other show that we were talking about.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to talk about when I was racing next to you in Hatfield yesterday, and all of a sudden you disappeared.
I did disappear.
And then I saw you in the parking lot with a new front wheel.
Yeah.
And a frown.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's bike racing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that it was because it was a 1-4 race, but it was a 1-4 race, and some guys got tangled up and took a bunch of us down. I don't really know what happened. All I know is I had a head over the heels moment, you know, but I wasn't falling in love. It wasn't as bad as the guy who I landed on. Cause look, I'm pretty decent at crashing. And if I have to choose between myself and somebody else, it's going to be somebody else. I mean, let's be honest. It's going to be somebody else. And so I did land on a couple people, but there was that one moment where I was like in the air and I knew I was okay. But then I realized I was coming down on a bike and
yeah, that could go really bad.
Could go bad. Yeah. So like, it's like the life freezes, but we got up and this guy that had gone down in front of me, just ate dirt. He had just dirt all over his face.
That, and that was it was in a weird spot because we made a left-hand turn.
There was no reason for that. Well, no,
the crash happened right in front of me. It was mid-pack. It was like mid-pack. And two guys just sort of folded on
but
each other.
But mid-pack when there was like 20 guys.
Right.
So like there was absolutely no reason for it.
Somebody ended up in the ditch on the right. I saw that through the corner of my eye.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you?
Well, I was on top of the person that did that.
So you rode him into the ditch.
I don't know. Not that time. I mean, I've done things like that before.
No, I don't mean like you pushed him. I mean, you body surfed him into the ditch.
I body surfed something.
Yeah.
Yeah, which happens usually.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing was is, all right, so we're going to get into it. So my teammate Stan also went down. So there's two out of four of us that were still, you know, in the race. Went down. He got up pretty quick. I untangled my bike. And, you know, that point where you really don't care what you're doing to somebody else's bike in that moment, you're like, I'm just getting my bike out of here with me on it.
Yeah.
And I stepped over some carnage, cross remounted onto my bike and started going. And we got like 100 feet up the road, 50 feet up the road, whatever it was.
Did you get to the turn or no?
Well, we start going up and, I was in maybe 53-13 probably.
On a slight rise.
And Stan started going, and I was like, wait, don't leave me. Because I was just bogged down, and then I realized I had a flat front tire the crash. So then the look vehicle was behind the crash, and they were helping crash victims. And I had already pulled my wheel off 50 to 100 feet up the road. And I'm just standing there yelling, wheel!
In no man's land.
In no man's land. They're looking up at me like, yeah, it's too bad for you. So I ran all the way down the hill in the pouring rain, holding my bike and my wheel. And the guy
I'm laughing with you.
Yeah, he puts a new wheel on. And of course, it's like 3 minutes by then.
Right.
And, you know, when we have like 10, 12 miles left in the race or whatever it was, 15 miles, I don't know what it was.
Plus rain and a headwind. Yeah, that was, I think, on lap 4.
Yeah, so I went for it. You know, I got the wheel back on. I think I probably set a new 20-minute PR. Mm. I haven't looked at my file yet, but I rarely went under 400 watts in that, you know, 350 range for that whole rest of that lap. But I couldn't make any ground. And the thing that got me, though, is maybe 10 minutes after I started going, that guy in the look vehicle passed me and didn't slow down to let me catch onto his bumper. That's the least you could do when I'm sitting there and I lose 3 minutes because of, you know, sure, you're helping people, but you're also responsible for getting people spare wheels.
Right.
You know, when they have a flat. And the fact that he just zoomed by me. And he could have at least given me a break and given me a chance to make up that. Because, you know, 30 seconds, fine, drive by me, whatever. But if you cost me 2.5 minutes, I don't know. He should have slowed down. So look, drivers, you know, SRAM vehicles, have a heart.
It's not SRAM anymore.
Well, whatever.
You're living in the past.
I know. Yeah. Those guys.
But the guys that made it back.
All right. There's one thing if it's a wheel van and it's a volunteer.
Yeah. But a pro.
But yeah. Did you get paid to be there? Yeah. I don't know. Well. Anybody wants to argue me on that? I know that you know, those vehicles will help.
Especially on a day like
yesterday. In that
situation.
Yeah,
so if you weren't in Hatfield or you don't know what the hell we're talking about, we raced in
a great road race. Mr. Mike Norton. It was awesome.
Yeah. Wonderful race. Great course.
Yeah.
But it was in a torrential downpour for 80% of the race, I think. The last lap, it kind of let up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was...
It wasn't that kind of the rain where you can't see where you're going. Like, I've been in a lot of races where you really can't see in front of you, the wheel in front of you, let alone...
The road.
The road.
Right.
But, you know, that was... It was wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I wasn't sure I wanted to go. I'm glad I did. Even though, like, now I have a DNF for the season.
Yeah.
Only 5 races in. But, hey.
You know, whatever. You can make that up.
I didn't get hurt.
It's a long season. Yeah, you didn't get hurt.
And, yeah, I flatted a tire, so.
So,
That sucks, but.
Yeah, but that's bike racing.
Yeah.
In the parking lot, there was a lot of chatter about the number of sprinter vans.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sprinter vans
There's
now.
There's a ton of sprinter vans.
Your teammates got one, right? Doesn't Dave have one?
Two of my teammates.
Two of your teammates?
It's like, wow. Buy one, get one free. I don't know. They're both white Mercedes sprinter vans, and I'm just, I don't know, man.
I saw one get stuck. I was a little worried about that because we were parking on a grass field, and it was a bog.
Yeah, but you know what?
What's that?
That was a Ford.
Oh, Ford.
Yeah. That wasn't a sprinter van. That was, we were joking about that.
So the Aetna van survived.
Yeah, of course, because those guys didn't park it somewhere where, like, they're going to get stuck. But, you know, I think we've talked about this before, but I think it's a sign of the economy right now.
Right.
And, like, how many sprinter vans are at bike races. Because I don't know if they're reproducing what it is, but there's a ton of them, man. It's crazy.
More and more.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was a cross thing. You know, you warm up in the van. Now it's a road thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I want one. I have, I've got sprinter van envy.
I don't.
No?
No. I need a bigger house. So that's just be my priority.
You don't want to live in the sprinter van is what you're saying.
No. Down by a river.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to live in a
van down by the river.
Buffalo Tatanka.
The fierce one, as I call him, seems a very tough fellow. I hope I never have to fight.
He's dances.
Dude, what? Those are, dances with wolves.
Dances with meat deliveries.
Those look brand new. He's got to break those things in.
Oh, we're looking at a photo of John Harris. John, what are you doing, man? What's with these boots?
Yeah, Pocahontas. Wow, those are sweet.
Yeah, you need to break him in, though.
Facebook right now.
Yeah.
But slick bike he's got, though, man.
Oh, that. You're talking about the motorcycle.
Yeah. Right.
I already forgot what we were looking at.
Man is living in the 70s. But hey, that power output, go ahead.
He can do whatever he wants.
Sure.
Yeah. So we were at a thing. I feel like it was forever ago because our lost episode, we recorded and talked about it, and then, shit happens, but we went to this Zwift event in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It was an invite, like a VIP thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was a Kiss race, a live Kiss pro race.
Mm. I wish Kiss was there. That would have made it actually more enjoyable, for sure.
Detroit, right?
Yeah, that would have been some solid, I'm surprised they weren't, to be honest.
Well, because it's New York? You expect Paul Stanley to walk in?
No, just because there was a lot of fluorescent pink everywhere and like neon lights, you know.
I'm surprised they haven't sued Zwift for use of Kiss.
Well, actually, that didn't come from Zwift.
Oh, it was a rider thing, a user thing?
Well, so there it was. So when Zwift Racing started way back in the early days, there was the ZTR, which was a Zwift training race. And then there was the Kiss races and for a while it was almost like, come on guys, get along, right? Because they were conflicting races in the calendar every day. But those were the two, it was the ZTR and the Kiss race. And eventually they merged into Kiss Race, and there's a couple other ones as well. But that's where that came from. So that was a community. It started in the community. It didn't start with Zwift.
And they just took it over.
I think it's a partnership.
Huh.
Quite honestly, I don't know a lot of the details around it, but I do believe it's a partnership because that whole group that put out the Kiss races are also connected with the whole Zada thing that started, which was the Zwift anti-doping that were doing a lot of policing of people's power numbers and comparing them to Strava rides. And then you'd have to get Zada certified to get your results in the race results on ZwiftPower.com. Right. So, and that's all still in place. So those are, it's the community group side that really has developed and run bicycle racing in Zwift. It's not necessarily Zwift as a platform.
And Zada's got even more power, I guess, more control now. They, at this Zwift event, I bumped into my friend Holden, who had just become Zwift national champion on the mm-hmm. dirt team. And he was telling me all about how, and we've got some audio that will drop in, all about how he won the event. But now they've got to go back and test. He's got to do power tests on a bunch of different trainers mm-hmm. to prove that he can actually crank out those watts.
Yeah. So there's been a separation. There was some legal stuff that was going on. So I'm actually currently not registered with ZwiftPower.com. I was a year or two ago. And that's where. So the only. Obviously, when you finish a race in Zwift, you're going to have the interface is going to pop up and say what place you are in. But the official results are on ZwiftPower.com.
Right.
You have to actually be registered with that, and you have to sign a terms of agreement now to allow for your data to be looked at and stored and then shared, right? So there's a whole release because – and I don't know a lot of details. I know just from being on the fringe and seeing it all happen – that somebody got really, really upset that they were being kind of dragged through the mud for cheating in Zwift in the Facebook communities. And they were like, you don't have the right to be sharing my personal data and all that kind of stuff. And I think it really did lead to some legal issues. So then the whole thing was taken down for a while. They figured out the legal side of it. I pulled even Zwift into it. So I'm sure, and I'm not a lawyer and I'm not part of Zwift or any of that, but I was witnessing all this.
Right.
So I don't know the exact details. I don't want to be clear about that. But yeah, it was shady. And so now you actually have to, say that it's okay because Zwift is linked to Strava. And then Zwift Power mines the data between the two from Zwift Racing and then combines it with the Strava data to get your kind of digital passport.
Right. Okay.
And so you have to click. I don't know the routine. For me, I was like, all right, this is too much.
It's
I race in Zwift like when I don't want to do my hard workout for the day. And I'm like, all right, I don't want to do intervals. I don't want to do anything with structure. I'll do a Zwift just to get like the right TSS score.
Right,
or I'll, if I, for example, last Sunday, I couldn't race in Intergrip because of family obligations. So I raced in Zwift later that afternoon.
Right.
Just, you know, to have a race in my legs.
But it's not the same.
No, it's not the same. But, you know, I don't care about the results. That's one big
the results
part of
on Zwift, right?
Right.
As opposed to going to an Intergrit and racing.
Yeah. So I think, you know, to take that step to say, hey, yeah, it's all right for you to analyze my personal, you know, data. I'm not going to take that step. I might if I was racing once a week in Zwift and I cared about the results. If they start putting money on the line,
right,
or things like that. Sure. But now it just seems creepy.
Yeah.
It just seems weird. And it was funny because when I was really into Zwift racing, I was just like, yeah, community, like, let's lambaste everybody that are cheating. And that's how you're going to self-regulate as a community. And because that's what happens in video gaming.
Sure, of course. But now they built this weird bureaucracy around it.
Yeah, and it's just too much. It really is too much. And, you know, honestly, nobody... There's very few people that are probably being honest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even the ones who have registered and doing that, you know, nobody in Zwift Power can really police all these people. You're talking thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it's only the ones that are, you know, doing 5, 6, 7 watts per kilo for an hour that they pay attention to. And even that, there's a ton of people doing that now. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Just because somebody is certified by Zwift Power doesn't necessarily mean that they're not cheating. That's all I'm saying. Mm. You know, because I think it's rampant. You know, because if we're racing,
right,
there's always a percentage, all right, of people that are capable of putting out certain power numbers above a certain level for an FTP. It's physiological. You can't train that. Like there are people that anything over a certain threshold, it's down to their body that's enabling. It's the size of their lungs, the size of their heart. You can only train to a certain point.
Right.
And so it's a very small percentage of people that are, from a physiology standpoint, capable of, say, having an FTP over 5 watts per kilo, for example.
Right, right.
And I, once again, I'm not a scientist. All I can say is I've been racing bikes a long time, and there, you know, in any field, say every 10, maybe there's one or two that are capable out of 10 riders.
But right? Not week after week.
Well, I don't know. FTP is one of those things when you're fit, it doesn't really fluctuate.
No, but I mean, are there people on Zwift? So I don't do Zwift racing. I've done a few, but yeah. Are there people on Zwift that are regularly hitting those numbers a whole season long?
Oh, yeah,
they're not just peaking.
Yeah. So
I don't see. It seems,
for example,
it's too much. I mean, this is like online training, right?
Yeah,
you really have to cheat for online racing.
Cycling is filled with fragile egos. That's just the sport. That's why most cyclists are dicks, right? Because there's a lot of fragile ego. And I think that's part of the problem with cycling. And we've talked about that too. Like that's what's pushing people to gravel rides and stuff like that, because the sport itself is just so it's high maintenance and you know, with people, right? So I don't know. If you race a Zwift race and there's 15, 20 guys, 10 or 15 of those guys are going to be able to put out those massive numbers, you know? Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the percentage isn't even to all other racing, cyclocross, mountain biking, road racing, crits,
right,
time trials, you know. There's a select few in all those disciplines, but suddenly in Zwift, those numbers are totally skewed. You know, it is what it is. And I think I'm soapboxing a bit, but I think we have to accept that, right? You just have to accept that.
Or there'll be a backlash and maybe a competitor will pop up. And I mean, there have been a few.
They're going to have the same problem.
Ruvi, there's a platform called Ruvi. What's the other one you mentioned earlier? Veloton?
Veloton's a new one that's popping up. It's about to go into beta. It's based on, for some reason, they're able to create a deal with, what is it, Pro Cycling Manager, the Microsoft Windows game.
That still exists?
Yeah. I think so. So there's some, and I don't have a ton of details. This is all stuff I've seen recently. But there's some kind of relationship there where they've taken that platform,
yeah,
and they've built it out so it can work on with smart trainers.
That was a pretty cool platform. The avatars looked pretty realistic, and
the race courses
were right on.
I think that's a smart business model, probably, to partner with somebody who's already established the game side of it, and then you just have to build out, you know, the. Being able, and apparently in this one, you'll be able to steer somehow.
Oh,
Yeah, with some kind of controller
system. So some sort of steering frame or...
I think it's just some kind of control, like, you know, control system that can go on to mount to your handlebars or whatever, where you'll be able to press a button and steer it.
So can you... I wonder if you'll be able to crash.
I don't know.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I don't know. It'll be based probably on whether you can crash in that game.
Right.
You know, I'm sure the steering is just tying into what you can already do in that game.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine if you can crash in that game, then sure, why not?
Well, I like competition, especially on the gaming side, because it'll make Zwift better. It'll make all these other programs better. Should make the whole online cycling thing a little bit more interesting.
No, I'm recording you. Hang on, let me get my other earbud in so I can actually hear what I'm doing here. Yeah. No, so we're here today recording for the Marginal Groans podcast.
Marginal Gains.
Marginal Groans.
Marginal Groans.
Same but different.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you just won the Zwift National Championship?
I won unofficially. There is some ZADA, Zwift. It doesn't stand for Zwift Anti-Doping Association, but it's basically Zwift Anti-Doping Association. So there's some pretty legit underwriting and validation that I've been going through since I won before I'm officially crowned. So I've tested my in-race power source against 3 different trainers already and all like just different testing protocol that I've had to go through.
Do they bring those to you, or do you have to go to their they have a studio or a center?
No, I had to. So I had to validate the equipment that I had. I raced with a Quark is my power source. And I raced primarily with a Quark because my trainer is a Hammer, and the Hammer notoriously reads really high for sprinters and like especially big sprinters, which is basically me. So I stopped using that. Use the Quark, then I need to validate the Quark against another trainer. So I got a Wahoo kicker trainer, but that one wasn't enough. So I got a Tax Neo as well. I was validating against the Neo, but the Neo crashed. It didn't resist my sprint. It's been sort of challenging. But at least I've been doing everything I can, you know, to try to validate. So long answer to not officially crowned national champion yet.
But when does that wrap up? Soon?
It was supposed to wrap up on Sunday, this past Sunday, and it's not yet. So we'll see.
Are you? You mentioned earlier that you're on a new Zwift team.
I'll tell you what was interesting.
What's that?
Our original discussion point about the Kiss race in New York.
Oh, yeah. Getting back to the Kiss race in New York City.
Yeah. So there were some pretty well-known people there.
Yeah.
Some stars and former stars.
Kristen Armstrong.
Yeah.
Greg LeMond.
Yeah.
Matty Heyman.
Yeah.
Again, my memory's
and a bunch
funny.
Of, you know, neo pros.
And a bunch of
eight
middle-aged.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Male New York City.
Lurkers.
The lurkers.
Some mixed drinks and cocktails.
And good snacks. Some brochut.
Was there? I didn't eat anything.
I didn't either. I saw it. We ate pizza before we went in.
Right. As we should have.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of sat like some cement in my stomach.
Yeah,
I
felt a little sleepy.
Yeah, yeah. And just the whole atmosphere was just a bit strange.
So
it was cool. And it was so... The massive screen streaming Zwift and all these bikes and a lot of neon lights and Zwift logos. It was pretty crazy.
It was cool. I mean, being a fan of the platform, it was cool to walk in into this white space downtown, go down a couple of stairs, and there's looking out. You can see 8 riders warming up on trainers. Mm-hmm. And then to our left, our immediate left, was a projected screen of what you would normally see in the, of the warm-up pen.
Right.
And warming up for a Zwift race. And there was, you know, there were a bunch of announcements. The race started and we're watching these 8 guys. And
of course they were racing about 40 or 50 right. other guys who are spread out throughout the world, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All pros, except for some of these, Zwift pros, right?
So. Zwift only. And we were trying to figure out, well, which of these guys...
It wasn't hard to figure out.
It wasn't hard to figure out at all. Who's a Zwift rider and who's a real world rider?
Yeah.
You can just tell by, well, one glance, how they, you know, how they carry themselves on the bike.
Yeah.
How they're dressed.
Yeah. It's like too clean.
Too clean, yeah.
Too, like, I want to look like a bike racer today. But, you know.
Maybe, do you think they went on Reddit and on the subreddit Velo and asked, I'm going on a Zwift race, which, how should I dress a live Zwift race? No, because those are the kind of questions that pop up on that sub. It's fun to lurk that sub, but.
But, you know, when you're looking at a bunch of guys who have scuffed shoes and there's one that's like everything is pristine, like they've never ridden their bike outside.
No, never left their basement.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
They look like idiots to me.
No. Dude, these are four of the smartest guys who ever lived. They're these Jewish guys that grew up in New York and they put on guitars and makeup to get girls. And all their songs are about fucking.
I'm listening.
So you get this whole like field of elite quotes cyclists that don't ride their bikes that much outside. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. They don't. You can have crazy power numbers and become a pro cyclist and actually not have to know how to balance on a bicycle.
That is crazy.
It blows. If you think about it, you just need to like be able to crush some pedals. You don't need to corner. All the things like to be a pro or to be an elite rider, you need to learn to do really, really well to set you apart from the field. You don't have to learn how to do that.
No, you just have to sit and pedal.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And have mom bring you fresh bottles.
Or something. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, we saw it. We saw it firsthand. Yeah. We sort of knew who was going to blow up.
But see, that's the weird thing, right?
You think the Zwift rider is going to last, right?
Well, because he's like the current Zwift national champion.
But not today.
I don't know the guy, but for him to, all right, race a certain way when nobody can see you, and then suddenly you're in this place where everybody can see you and you get blown off the back in the first like 15 minutes.
So this
something suspect.
You're a little suspicious then. Okay.
Something suspect. Maybe he's sick.
Maybe.
But you could have stayed home. It's if you're sick, you know?
Well, I don't know.
If I was at the Super League race in Manhattan with a bunch of pros flanking me.
Right.
I'd have to be throwing up on myself to not give it everything I possibly have. I don't care how sick I am. My lungs could literally be coming out of my body. And I would finally say, God, my lungs are my throat. I can't do this anymore. Like, I would be dying.
Oh, I remember when he threw in the towel. He gave it one last effort. And I said, oh, look, power numbers are going up. Mid fours. Low fours, threes, and then 85 watts.
Yeah.
And then he was just, sitting up. That was it.
Yeah.
And that so watching these guys ride was interesting, but it was like watching caged animals. It wasn't like watching a real race. It wasn't like watching Amstel Gold, which we'll talk about.
You know what it was like? It was like going to the carnival, that thing where you have to like squirt water make the horses
the balloon?
Race.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's a bad comparison. It was like some really, really fancy rich guy. And I'm not meaning people we know who, you know, are part of Zwift. Just like, all right. So there's this like rich guy. He's got this penthouse in New York City. And he's like, you know what? I love cycling. I'm going to bring in a bunch of pros and have a cocktail party while they ride trainers in my living room.
I bet that's happened.
Yeah. So that's what it seemed like.
It did. We were there.
It was seemed like, yeah.
Seriously, this song is called Love Gun, and it's about Paul Stanley's dick. Now this girl's going to get some of his dick.
Ooh. I didn't know Jews could sing like that.
No, they couldn't at the time. That's why they had to dress like clowns.
Yeah.
I was happy to be there. It was cool.
No.
And it was an interesting thing because...
Don't think we're Zwift haters.
No, we're not. We're absolutely not. The opposite. The whole way down, we were talking about how we were worried about... I was worried about my perception that I enjoy esports. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool platform, and I want Zwift to be successful. I was worried that this was going to be boring, mm-hmm. and it didn't hold my attention. And I can't imagine watching it from home.
Yeah.
Just sitting at my computer and watching these guys race virtually just doesn't hold my attention.
Yeah. There's gotta be a hook, you know, I think
betting
or short races.
Yeah.
You know, like 10 minute, like the roller races that are happening in bars and stuff.
Right. Those are like, fun.
Like stuff like that, I think would get people's attention. And if they were like doing it as development opportunities for inner cities where it's dangerous to ride a bike and there's probably like the U.S. untapped talent, like the real bike racers haven't been discovered yet, right? Because they have no exposure to the sport. They don't have money to get into it.
They have no access.
So, right. You know, it's like every once in a while, a well-to-do kid happens to be talented at our sport in this country and, they make it.
Right.
But, you know, we don't get the exposure that I think a lot of kids get in Europe, right? So I don't think our best athletes have even discovered the sport yet, right? So what if they did that? They had these, you know, in the local Ys or whatever in inner cities or, you know, cities in general, have this all set up and have a series, race series that way and crown a national champion out of that. You know, I mean, that would be incredible. Like, I think people would watch that in esports that's centered around developing kids.
Well, there's a new program. I think it's called Rise. That they run these cycling combines.
I've seen
Have you
that.
Heard about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great.
I don't know much about it other than what I've seen on the marketing side. They're basically trying to build that sort of network, but it's more for a talent pool.
Yeah.
And USA Cycling has been really, they're kind of asleep at the wheel. If you don't live in Colorado.
When have they not been?
Well, yeah. If you don't live in Colorado, you don't live in California, and you don't have a good program like, you know, what we have in the Northeast, you're not going to get noticed. You're not going to get funds. You're not going to make the Olympic team. It's a screwed up system.
Yeah, it is. And it has been since I was a junior and probably even before that. I think there's opportunity, and hopefully the guys at Zwift, guys, I mean that in general terms, guys and
the
gals.
The humans at Zwift
are thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet they are. I'm hoping deep down inside in my black heart that they are thinking about this, or even have gotten the ball rolling. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I agree with you. People won't watch bike racing, period. I don't see people watching Zwift racing on TV and stuff like that. So, no, I could be wrong.
Well,
what if they did events where it was like, so you have Central Park course. What if they run a Zwift race at the same time as they're running Mangione, starting and finishing in the same place and combining the results? What if they started doing crazy shit like that? I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's even possible.
Oh, there's so many different, but there are so many variables. You've got environmental variables that you've got to take into consideration.
It's not going to be a direct comparison, but I don't know. Like, maybe that's gimmicky. Whatever.
Maybe they need that. Who knows? Look, we're going into their slow time of year for North America and Europe, right? So people are going to start dropping off. I'll keep my subscription running because I still like to use it for training.
I always keep it going. Yeah, I've noticed the last few times I've been on there is, you know, with two worlds running at the same time, it's like 1500 per world. So everything's down substantially.
Well, I'm going to get on tomorrow. I want to check out this new flat course.
Yeah.
Loaded this weekend.
Isn't it like from the movie Cars?
It does. It looks like Radiator Springs. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I'm heading toward Bonktown and have to make a stop to get some calories, and I'm given the choice between convenience store ring dings, manufactured food blobs, or real food, I take the latter every time. Well, Real Energy Bars are made from 100% organic ingredients right here in Connecticut by one of our own. Each bar has two servings, and they're nutrient dense, packing in over 300 calories per bar of yummy goodness. Plus, and this is a big plus, each bar comes in a biodegradable baking cup, which is great when you fail to shove it back into your jersey pocket and it ends up in the woods like mine did a couple of days ago. Try a 4-flavor sample box now for only $15 and get free shipping. To order, go to realenergybars.com. What's on the whiteboard today?
Amstel Gold race happened today.
Holy moly, Amstel Gold.
Fuck was that? That was insane.
I wouldn't know what he's on.
Anything. No. See, that makes me mad, right?
Why? Because I say that?
Because it already started on social media.
Yeah. Look, the guy's amazing.
He is.
The next Merckx? I don't know. I'm stuttering here.
I don't think Merckx ever did that.
No, Merckx never did that.
Mm-mm. No.
So he's beyond Merckx at this point.
I think...
With potential, I mean.
Yeah, he's... Look, his grandfather's Poulidor, right?
Yeah.
His father, Audrey, was one of my favorite cyclocross riders growing up. He was the first cyclocross rider that was hopping planks, you know, in the late 80s. World champion cross rider. The genetics are there.
Yeah.
And you know, Matthew has been beating people for a long time, like a long time. And I bet he's understood what it takes to be a pro since he was 7 years old, you know? I don't know, man. I think he's just I'm a fan, obviously, of this guy because he's a cross rider and, you know, an all round bike racer.
He's a true all rounder.
He's more than like Sagan is an all rounder. Right?
Right. This guy's more like Roger Devlamek, but on super Roger Devlamek.
Yeah. Yeah. Just. I think it's, you know, he's all femur.
Yeah.
Right. And he's just, I was out on a ride with the guys from Expo a couple weeks ago, Sunday morning ride. And Bob from Manchester Cycle and I were talking and it was before Vanderpool won his first race this season. I forget what it was. So we were talking. I was like, these guys, like him and Vanner, are like full athletes. They're training their full body,
right?
And they're doing core workouts as much as they're training on their bikes. Whereas most cyclists years ago and coming up over the last few years, like before. You're like, don't do anything in your upper body,
right.
You know, like do it in the winter, but don't, you know, like you have to be like chicken chest, like concave
right.
chests.
Like,
right?
Well, like Chris Froome.
Yeah. But these guys, I think they just, I don't know, they're just 100% athletes.
They
just
defy
like
conventions.
Yeah. And I think that you're just seeing a new crop of people that are coming out and,
I love it. It's made racing exciting again.
Yeah, I like to think that they're not. I'd like to think they're doing this all legally. Until somebody proves me wrong, I actually think this guy's legit.
I hope so. I'm skeptical because
I think he's just super dedicated.
I've been too goddamn disappointed year after year.
Yeah.
Sorry. But. It's made racing, whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Racing has gotten really exciting again.
Mm. Yeah. That's a tough statement, right?
Yeah.
Cause you know, that's after the whole Lance thing, the tour got boring for
a
while.
It really did. Yeah.
But still, I still watched it and I hope that people are getting better now just because they're just better. They're evolving. They're evolving their training. I sound like a hopeful, you know, romantic about cycling, but I don't know. I want these guys to be really dominant because they're just on another level of understanding training and commitment.
Look, deep down I do too. I just don't trust anymore when it comes to professional athletes.
Yeah. honestly, it would be too blatant. That's the part, right? Like, it would be too blatant. Do you know how often Vanderpool probably gets tested? You know, I mean, he completely dominated the cyclocross season.
Yeah.
All the way through the world championships. Nobody could touch him.
No, in fact, he was exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And everyone else was just following. It was, it got to a point where it was like watching Froome in the Tour, but with panache.
And he had one attack today in Amstel, with like 45K to go on that climb. And then he got caught and he sat in and was patient. And then with 10 kilometers to go, he put out a full on cyclocross effort.
Yeah.
And did what he had been doing all season long in the cyclocross races.
And what, he caught the break at 300 meters to go and just rode right. Rode right through them.
Well, he strategically did it. He actually came up on Fuglsang.
Yeah.
Like right on him, caught like a breather for a second. And then jumped him.
It's amazing.
So, it was amazing. And he just he pounced those guys. Like, I don't know. It was pretty impressive. I've never seen anything like that.
No.
That's like the dream. So whenever there's a break and you bridge up to the break and then win, like that's the dream move.
Right.
Like it doesn't get better than that in bike racing. Like that is... Yeah, the dream. I don't know how to describe it. That's to bridge the last minute and then win is what every single bike racer, that is the most glorious move humanly possible in bike racing, in my opinion.
No, I agree.
Because it just
that.
Shows just pure domination.
Yeah. And he had it.
Yeah. So that was, I don't know. I yelled when it happened in my house. My kids were like, "Dad, are you all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." No, they didn't actually. My kids don't care. I'm just trying to make myself sound like my kids care about their parent. But they don't. They were, you know, somewhere with their headphones on.
Yeah.
Doing that stuff that centennials do.
Is that what they're called? Centennials?
Yeah, man. Centennials.
What is that, like 12 and under?
I believe that's like 20 and under.
Oh.
Something. Generation Z.
Zombies?
No, they're the opposite of that, which is crazy. Like if you see some of the insights around kids under the age of 20 and their brains are like super, they're just... supercomputers, like processor speed wise, like they can it 5 to 10 seconds and they know exactly what they're reading or seeing. They can process things like 3 times, 10 times as fast as us old dudes can.
Mm. Well, they are replacements.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect my replacement to have an upgrade. Moving right along in search of good. So, getting back to our old trope, did you notice anything funny in the parking lot at Hatfield or, you know, going back to weird shit that cyclists do?
Enlighten me.
Well, we've been talking about...
I know about weird shit that cyclists do because they do a lot of weird shit.
They do weird shit. Did you notice anything weird? I'm asking. I'm not trying to lead you into something.
Oh, I thought you saw something.
No, I didn't see anything. Like, I did leave some baby wipes, though, in one of the Port-a-Johns.
Yeah.
Nobody said thank you, but that's all right.
I expect it. Nobody knows.
No.
We're not that popular.
No, there's like 10 people that listen to us, and I appreciate it.
Now we're down to 10.
Went from 100 to 10, yeah.
No, I didn't notice anything weird, but it was really distracting because of the rain.
Did you warm up pre-race?
Hell no.
I did notice a lot of guys dragged their trainers in under that pavilion, and they were warming up, and I thought... That's lap one.
I never warm up for road races.
Yeah. You've got 2.5 hours of racing ahead of you.
No. Of course, I kind of hit it off the gun as soon as we got out of the neutral. But I always do that.
I saw you do that.
I always do that.
Yeah.
I was just bringing the heart rate up. And then, because I don't like when we're just a slow roll.
Yeah.
Like, we're there to race bikes. Let's go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I had a funny song stuck in my head during that race.
What was that?
It was a Muppet song called Moving Right Along that my son loves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stuck in my race, in my head for 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah,
that sucks. And it was terrible.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare. Yeah, it was a negative race, to be honest. I was talking to one of my teammates beforehand. I was like, yeah, probably third. I looked at, it was when we were in the neutral.
Yeah.
And I was like looking at the riders that showed up in the rain. And I said, yeah, it's going to be third lap.
Oh, like, the crash.
No, that like three to five guys yeah. are going to go and nobody here is going to chase. But I didn't expect it to be that three guys. I expected it to be, you know, there were some fast riders.
Yeah.
And I expected some of them to be in that move, you know, the move that got away.
Well, some of them, I think I know you're talking about, they were working to bring it back or working to get out to it, but those efforts sort of got quashed.
Yeah. And, you know, I tried to get up there. I tried to bring it back. And people would come up to my wheel and sit up.
Yeah.
And I think that was happening to a lot of riders. And that's ridiculous. It's for a group of three riders to get 30 seconds and then everybody just race to the next wheel and then sit up, to me that's weird shit cyclists do. Like, race your bike. Don't suddenly just, oh, they got 30 seconds, we're racing for fourth.
Right.
Like, that is not bike racing.
Yeah, we still had a good lap and a half, maybe two laps to catch those guys.
Yeah, it could have happened. But then again, I had three teammates in there. There's four of us. We could have easily gone to the front and started pace lining, and
that's
we didn't.
That's true. So. No. So, but you guys know, individually were making your own attacks.
And we were trying.
Yeah.
We were trying.
It looked like a good effort.
Yeah. But, you know, it's early.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that negative, it makes it really, really frustrating. Between that and riders being in there that are too strong for their own good, you know, and causing crashes.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. You know, see, those two things make you just want to go get your ass kicked in the Pro 1 too. Mm. You know, like, because it's at least going to be consistent. It's at least going to be competitive, and not this weird, I don't know, cat and mouse. I don't know how to describe it, but
fast group ride.
The crits have been okay,
yeah,
for Masters crits, but road races, God, it's just so negative, you know. But that needs to change. But I understand that, you know, we can't get the numbers. You can't say, all right, well, it's going to be a Masters 1-3 field, and like Masters 4-5 field, because you're not going to get enough guys racing. You know, we need some Cat 4s to be in there to fill out the field.
Right.
So I get why promoters are doing it. The truth of the matter is, even if it's only 15 guys in a Masters 1-3, it's going to be the same 15 guys that are the fastest 15 guys.
Week after week, guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but at least we won't be crashing.
How sad is it, though, that our numbers are that weak?
It's sad. Yeah, it's sad. But it had been promising. You know, Ninegrit, the first Ninegrit,
yeah,
Chris Hines, had good numbers. From what I understand, the second one was pretty poor. I don't know.
Look, the rain was a huge factor yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was 50 pre-regged.
Right.
And that's what I don't. So,
here's my $60.
It was 70.
Oh, 70? I don't remember what I paid.
It was 70. Like,
I registered for that race way back when I think Mike first put it up. Cause I thought,
who
I'm
doing that scary. It was 70 degrees out, pouring rain, and guys that spent $70 on that race didn't show up. Half of them.
Well,
what is wrong with you guys?
Maybe
seriously,
maybe they had
it's just rain.
Maybe they had to detail their Sprinter van.
Oh, God, it's painful. What is wrong? I did contemplate. And then I was like, no, $70 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, I need to suffer. I'm paying $70 to suffer. Make it more sufferful by adding rain on top of it. Not like, let's just stay home today.
Yeah.
Come on. If I would understand if it was 40. If it was 40 degrees, pouring rain, yeah, stay home, ride in Zwift, whatever.
You'd still be there, though. If I paid, if I paid the money, I think I'd still show up.
Mm.
Snow, ice, that's a different story.
Mm. I'll race cross in 40 degrees and rain. I don't know about the road.
Well, cross is different.
Your hands get really cold.
You're racing for 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And you know it's done in 45 minutes to an hour. A road race?
2.5 hours. 62 miles, 2.5 hours, 40 degrees, pouring rain. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have done that. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. But, you know, who knows? I remember one year we had to because it was the opening stage to Killington stage race. And it was 38 degrees, pouring rain. I think it was flurrying a little bit. And that is the coldest I've ever been on my bike. It was, you know, 70 miles, I think.
Yeah.
And had a good descent, like, you know, a long descent. So I couldn't even feel, I couldn't even tell I was shifting, you know?
Yeah,
that like cold. You would shift.
Your fingers were just numb.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell if the bike was actually shifting or not. Ugh. You know, it was just really, really freezing. Didn't eat anything, didn't drink anything the whole race.
Yeah.
It was pretty brutal.
Just ice blocks for hands.
But you're at a stage race.
Right.
You know, you can not race.
No, the first day?
Yeah, on the first day.
Can I race 3 out of 4 days, please?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. But yeah, if it was a one day, fuck no. I probably wouldn't have gone. It was nice, though.
So what's your next race?
Guavin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for it. I'm not fit. So, we'll see how it goes. that race is a love hate for me, man. Like I either am off the back or I'm in the top 10. Huh. There's no in between. I don't know what it is about that race.
But you're not feeling so good about it going in. A week ahead, you know, a week out.
I feel fine. I don't know. I just probably going to have to be super conservative. That's all.
We'll have to talk about it next Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I'm racing.
I love that race. It's a great race.
That morning. So.
Yeah. Michael Norton's putting on.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God we have promoters like him in New England because, you know, I think they could learn a thing or two. Yeah.
We need more road
races. He cares about putting on a good race and that's it.
Yeah, that's obvious. Good information, good safe course.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you ask for?
Right. Props.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for listening. We think we're getting the hang of this podcasting thing, and we hope you're enjoying this episode. If you want to show your appreciation, head over to patreon.com/marginalgroans and become a supporter. We have patron levels starting at just $2 per month, and those funds will help us make the show better with stuff like new mics and maybe a more comfortable chair for Jeremy. Nah, he can suffer another week, but we'll still take your cash and put it to good use. Again, that's patreon.com/marginalgroans. And thanks. Paying to suffer. That's something that... That's a weird thing that cyclists do.
So this could be a whole nother topic, right?
Yeah, maybe next week on Marginal Groans.
Yeah, we do pay to suffer.
Yeah.
Because even if you're a pro, there's no money in it. I mean, pros make like... I'm sorry, if you have your dreams of being a pro cyclist, you'll be lucky if you make $20,000 a year as a domestic pro.
Yeah.
Do it, but...
Not for the money.
Don't do it for the money. And, you know, like as an amateur, you definitely, I hear people complaining about races not having, you know, prizes.
Yeah.
I agree. There should be something. Like if you win a race, you should at least get your entry fee back or half of it. I don't care. Just some kind of like, thank you for actually winning my race.
Something tangible beyond a medal or a grab bag from the bike shop.
Yeah. Maybe like, I don't know, size double XL winter booties that weren't bought at the store. Whatever. Just give people something. But we're not in this for the money. And, you know, we're in this for suffering in this sense of like accomplishment and camaraderie and stuff like that. And it is weird if you think about it.
Yeah, because the camaraderie is often there's
bike racing is getting super expensive, like entry fees. They used to be $30. Now it's average $60-$70.
Yeah. So I'm working with another human male to bring out bike race here in July at the end of the month at a course that many people know and raced recently. And we're sort of going over the, well, do we do prize list for everybody? Do
another
we do
just human male? That was really weird.
Yeah. We'll cut that. So I'm working on
like, I'm going to be upset. What? You didn't ask me to put on a race with you? What are you, fucking nuts? I don't want to put on a race. Like, that's the last thing I want to do.
Well, that's the.
I want to pedal.
That's sort of the ultimate in pain and suffering. It being is. A bike race promoter.
Oh God, yeah. Well, I should get some in here because
we have one. I'm sitting right here. I'm doing it.
Oh yeah. Why are you doing that, man? Wait, because you love the sport.
Because I love the sport, and there's a hole that last weekend in July. Mm-hmm. Why not just put on a race? We can do it.
Yeah, man, fill that hole.
Yeah, gonna fill the void in the calendar.
That's what I meant. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Cool. I'm looking forward to that. Is there a hill in it?
No.
Damn it.
Nope.
It's corners.
Yes. Two.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. All right, well, good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you're a regular listener, and you're probably a friend of ours. And if you're a friend of ours and you are mourning the loss of Dave Hoyle, and we wanted to dedicate this episode to Dave's memory, and his family are in our thoughts.
Yeah. Love you, Dave. Thank you.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other?